are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Daniel, welcome to Serious Growth Podcast.
I'm glad to be here. Finally, hey. It's taken me a while.
Well, that's okay. Good things take a while to happen, you know? Are you from the great state of Tennessee?
Originally, I'm from New York, but I live in Tennessee now.
Oh, really? Okay. New York.
Yeah.
How long have you been living in Tennessee now?
6-7 years, somewhere around there. I think probably 6 or 7. Yeah.
Very good. Okay. So I know you're into this, strength type of training, correct?
Yeah.
All right. So how old are you?
I just turned 29 last month.
Okay.
It's November now, 2 months ago.
2 months. Okay. So when did you get into the gym and start just lifting? What got you there and when did that happen?
So I started training when I was about 10 or 11 years old.
Okay.
Pretty much to help with sports. And, you know, my dad kept telling me, like, if I wanted to be a good football player, if I wanted to be a good baseball player, I needed to have some kind of, you know, edge upon the kids at my age. So training obviously would help with that.
Right.
And,
smart man. I had my kids. Yeah. I got my kids in because they're athletes, both of them. And I told them the same thing. I said, if you're going to play sports, then you need to lift and you need to train. But, you know, properly is the key there.
Right.
I had at that point, I had some a lot of background as far as my background back then. I was very specific to a sport for an athlete, no matter what sport it was. So I applied that to my kids to put them in that, you know. But it's really important at the age of 10. Well, who was helping you live to make sure that you weren't doing anything wrong?
That's what happened. I was actually working out with my friend who was a few years older than me. Yeah. And I actually got kicked out of the gym because I didn't know I wasn't allowed to be there at that age.
Yeah.
I think when I was like 12 or 13, they told me I wasn't allowed to work out there anymore. And that's when I started working out at my middle school gym and high school gym and all of that.
So to a large degree, it sounds like this is you self-taught yourself and maybe
books
or whatever.
Back when I was like younger, it was like the early 2000s, you know, we didn't really have like YouTube access or anything like that. Like a lot of the kids have now. So I was reading like Muscle Magazine and, you know, bodybuilding.com. And I would just go, you know, look at Ronnie Coleman's leg workout and I would kind of pick and choose what I liked from there.
Yeah.
Which is one of the things I talk about a lot with like kids now. They have so much access to free knowledge everywhere.
Yeah, that's a fact. You and I learned this the same way when I came through. It's hard to understand and tell people that when I came through, there wasn't YouTube and there wasn't all these videos that we could go to. It was like you actually had to read the articles. And then, of course, as I learned, you know, from that too, you can't believe everything that you're reading in the article either.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Ronnie Coleman's leg workout was, I think, like a 5-hour leg workout.
Yeah.
And they would talk about all these ridiculous things. You know, I'm sure he probably did do it. But for me, I feel like I probably wasted, you know, 5 to 6 years of training because I really just didn't know what I was doing.
But, you know, the thing about it is this, you can call it wasting your time like that. But look, if you stay in the game and keep making adjustments, you get to where you want to get. Hopefully we all hope that we could learn and at a faster curve. I don't know if it's always the best way, to be honest with you. So I don't see it as a negative, like you wasted time. That was your learning curve.
Yeah. I guess wasting time is the wrong way to put it, but I feel like I could have been more efficient with my time.
Oh yeah.
If it was now.
I keep learning that now. I'm 67. I'm still learning how to be more efficient, you know? It's just like it's like a constant learning curve. And I'm good with that because for me, I'm lucky. What I do for my living is is my passion. And so I love to keep learning about new ways and seeing what the body is able to do at these different ages. And I have to tell you, the body is pretty freaking amazing if you just give it half a chance.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I feel like you know, I've been training for 19 years now, and I'm still learning like little tricks and tips to like help improve my deadlift or help improve my squat, even my bench.
Yeah.
You know, whatever I'm doing, it's just like you can always learn more.
Would you consider yourself a power lifter now?
I guess so. I mean, technically, I'm a power lifter. I've only competed twice, so it's not really that impressive. None of my lifts are technically official right now, but yeah, I guess I might be more of an influencer technically now because I have a larger following. But I don't know.
Okay, I watched a couple of your videos, and like you do an insane amount of weight for repetitions. Is that right? Like,
yeah.
Okay. So tell me how did this all evolve into that? Because that seems to me like it's more of your niche now. Would that be correct?
All right, let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our product.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're gonna get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you big beyond belief in the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
Yeah, I would say so. I feel like it's more, you know, people see me doing a weight that they think I could maybe do for one rep and I'll do it for like 15 to 20. And
okay.
It's kind of like that shocking, like wow factor.
Yeah. So how does one get to that point? Because some people don't realize that everything, there's a process too. You know, that some people think that you probably just climbed underneath a bar and did that. And I know that's not the case. So why don't you tell us how you started doing and what got you into training with doing these reps with all this insane weight? How did that happen and how did you train for that?
Well, so like I said, first of all, I've been training for about 19 years.
Yeah.
I was training for football mainly. So, you know, bench press is huge there. 225 for an AMRAP is like the test that everyone does.
Right.
And, you know, I wasn't benching that much in high school. I was benching around like 300, 335-ish, I think was my max. And I just was trying to be a bodybuilder, really. I love bodybuilding. I really loved like the golden era aesthetic look.
Yeah.
And I just could never get my arms to grow compared to my shoulders. And I felt like my proportions were all off. And in college, I was benching around 405 for reps. And one of my good friends who I went to high school with, he was a competitive power lifter. And he was like, hey, man, like, you've never trained to be a power lifter and you're repping, you know, 405 on bench, which is a weight we dream of hitting.
Yeah.
And I was kind of shocked. I didn't even know it was a thing. So when I was 23, I did my first meet and I set like the New York State record and did all this and that. And I was kind of like, I loved it, you know.
Yeah.
I thought it was great because in bodybuilding, you have to look a specific way to be good.
Yeah.
Whereas in powerlifting, you could be a good bencher, you could be a good deadlifter, you could be a good squatter, or you could be, you know, if you're decent at all three, you have a great total.
Yeah.
And I just kind of fell in love with it because anyone could be good at it. And that's just, it became my passion, man. So I just loved lifting heavy, you know, having that weight in your hands or on your back or pulling it off the ground. There's just no other feeling to me.
Yeah, I know. You know, when I was bodybuilding, when I got started, I wasn't quite sure. In fact, one of the guys that he's a client of mine now, he was the owner of the gym that I was training at. And he said, based on your body type, you're because he knew that I wanted to train. I was training as a bodybuilder. So when I first got started, and he said, based on your body type, you'd probably be more successful in powerlifting. You know, kind of hurt my feelings a little bit because I really like bodybuilding, you know. And of course, you know, I stuck with the bodybuilding thing. But yeah, it was interesting doing all that. I like being strong too, you know, but as you might know, one of the things about bodybuilding, it's not about the weight specifically that you lift. It's about the repetitions that you do. And there's always been a lot of debate over that, you know, but when you really get right down to it, even Ronnie Coleman, as strong as he is, I did a video with him many years ago. We called it the Backstage Secrets of Bodybuilders at that time. And he was just a cop and he was just coming on the scene. It's huge. But even Ronnie Coleman will tell you that for bodybuilding, it's doing as much weight as you possibly can, but for a lot of reps. So he sticks around 12 to 15, 10 reps sometimes, but it's up there. Most people don't know that. But so when you're training, I'm assuming, do you train? Is it low rep training? Is it high rep training? How does that work?
So I usually go through three different training blocks. I feel like a lot of people, when they powerlift, they always want to max out. And they feel like if they don't max out every month or every 2 months, they won't see progress. So for me, I actually run like a 3 month hypertrophy block where I start off doing sets of 15 and finish with sets of 8.
Okay.
Pretty high volume. I pull my reps down. And then obviously the next couple blocks, I'll go from 8 to, let's say, 3 and then 3, 2, 1 for my final prep.
So is that like, would I be correct in saying that's about three months in each block?
It's about 12 weeks. Yeah. It depends. Anywhere between 10 to 16.
So basically in 9 months, you've created a complete block. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It would be three blocks. Yeah. But one whole training cycle.
Right. And then is there anything now that you're doing this for more, just for the shock value of how many reps that you could do for a certain amount of weight? Are you still sticking with that type of a style as far as 3 months with each, or how does that get to the point where you're doing a lot of weight and a lot of reps?
The AMRAPs that I've been doing recently, I guess, are more really for views that I kind of just to see how I can do it, you know, because for example, let's say I bench 600 pounds.
Yeah.
99% of the population will never know what it's like to ever touch or feel that or understand how hard it is to do.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas 225, you know, a lot of them might have squatted it or benched it or deadlifted it for a rep. Maybe not, you know.
Yeah.
So for you to rep that out for 80, 90, 100 reps, they can kind of understand it a little bit more and see how different the gap of strength is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you make it more like anybody, I mean, a larger group of people could do 225 for X amount of reps, where you know, I get you now. It's kind of like when I walked into Gold's Gym the first time after training 6 years, and I walked into Gold's Gym in Venice Beach where all the pros were. My first response was, I said, oh, fuck no, I can't get that big. I mean, it was insane how big those guys were, you know. It's just like most people can't identify with that. But I see what you're doing now.
Yeah, like bodybuilders, you don't realize how big they are until you see them in person.
Oh, goodness gracious. When I saw these guys, it was mind-blowing to think how they could get that big, you know. But it's an interesting journey for sure. Okay, so then what about how much you weighing right now?
Right now I'm around 308, but I'm kind of fatter. My diet's been kind of lacking, you know. I've just been eating whatever I could find right now at this point. But I compete at 275. So my training weight that I can get up to is about 320.
Yeah.
And then it's an easy water cut and maybe 5 to 10% body fat cut, which really doesn't affect strength much.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Like what we were saying before, a lot of people think, you know, they see bodybuilders and don't realize how big they are. Yeah. I'm 6'2", 308.
Right.
You know, I've got 20-inch arms. I'm not a small person.
No, you're not. You know? I can tell on screen you're not a small person.
And you see some of these, you know, 5'6" bodybuilders, and people are like, oh, they're absolutely massive. And then you put me next to them, and it's like, you know, I outweigh them by 60 pounds.
Yeah, exactly. You remind me of the kind of like the old style powerlifters or even bodybuilders. We used to do a bulk phase.
Yes.
And we didn't worry that much about how much body fat that we were putting on. We just went for it. Lee Priest, have you heard of him?
Yes, absolutely. He was notorious for his bulks.
Yeah. And he was kind of that mindset. He said, fuck it, I just put on as much weight as I can, and then I pare it down. Of course, you know.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of us were more of the mindset as we went on was like more of a lean bulk. So you're not getting past 10 or 12% body fat.
Right.
It worked for Lee Priest, but you remind me of that back in those days, how we used to just slam weights.
Yeah. I mean, I found it works for me. The only issue I've really had was my first big bulk. I went from around, I was either 230 or 240 and I pushed to like 270 to 280.
Yeah.
And just from gaining so much weight so quick, I had troubles breathing, you know. Yeah. I would snore in my sleep. I would even snore sitting on the couch watching TV. And my health was just a little at risk there. So I kind of had to maintain a bit and then kept pushing. So it's taken me about maybe three and a half years to go from 230 to 308. And now I feel healthy at this point.
Yeah, it sounds like you're figuring it out. You know, because I was going to ask you, is there a point of no return? In other words, you know, you can put on so much weight, but at some point you really don't get stronger, even though you're putting on that much weight. I would think that.
Yeah, it's diminishing returns, I would diminishing say. Diminishing returns, you know, like, yeah. Let's say if I hit 700 at 320, I'm not going to hit 800 at 350. I might hit 720 at 350.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Yeah, so you start figuring that out. Do you? Right. What's your schedule as far as your nutrition? Do you worry about protein intake, or how does that work for you?
Honestly, right now I don't, and I feel like that's my biggest downfall. I've actually struggled with my meal prep for a while, and like there'll be times when I'll cook and I'll eat everything for like 3 weeks straight. My strength will just like skyrocket, and I feel great and I look great, and then like I'll have a trip that I have to go on for 3 or 4 days and then everything just goes to shit.
Yeah.
You know, or I just don't want to meal prep one Sunday and I'll just be lazy. I don't know.
No, then, listen, it's not an easy thing to do, you know?
Yeah.
I think for most people, the training part, when we're in it like you and I are, the training is the easier part. In the long haul,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because
yeah,
I know like with bodybuilding, just like with you, to eat the right way to get that maximum strength to be most efficient, it's a damn job, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I was eating around like 8,000 to 10,000 calories a day. Yeah. Obviously not clean food. So I would eat like, you know, about 6 pounds of pot roast and like 8 cups of rice. And then I would eat 10 eggs in the morning and a whole bowl of oats and just whatever I could get my hands on, man, I would be eating.
Yeah. And to do that day in and day out is when it gets really tricky, especially when you're on the road and things like that. I know we had to face some of that stuff as well. You know, sometimes we were eating in the middle of the night, depending on where we were, you know, even if at home, because if you got a late start on your eating schedule, well, you had to make up for it, you know.
Or you'll wake up hungry. Like there are times when I've woken up at like 2 a.m. absolutely starving and I'll go eat a whole box of cereal.
That's funny.
But yeah.
The one of the things I learned in about protein intake, which was controversial back in the day, I wrote these damn training courses called Serious Growth and Big Bound Belief, and that was in late 80s, early 90s. And I went to Bulgaria, and of course, they were the strongest men in the world when it came to Olympic lifting, you know, which is similar to what you're doing, some of the lifts, you know, the squat and the deadlift. But they were really adamant about high protein intake. They were talking about 3 grams per 1 pound of body weight, and just try to do that day in and day out, right?
Yeah, that'd be 900 grams for me. That's
crazy stuff. But that's kind of where they. So I've always been that person who has always been more towards the higher grams of protein to get the performance. I think it works. Yeah. I think it's definitely.
I love protein and I love my carbs, man. So I just eat all of it.
Yeah,
cat over here trying to get in this video. Sorry,
it's okay if he wants to get in. I have my dog come in sometimes. What about your, you know, so you don't get so far out in body weight? Do you do any cardio at all?
Right now, absolutely none. So I'm naturally extremely skinny. Before I started training, I was around 170 at 6'2".
Yeah,
and the last time I did cardio, I lost 20 pounds in 10 days.
Holy crap!
Yeah, I was actually 25. I was 255 and I was supposed to compete at 242. And I did 10 days of Stairmasters. I did 10 minutes a day and I lost 25 pounds. Man, and it screwed my whole prep up because I came in 12 pounds too light.
A lot of people will think that you're a lucky guy that you can lose that kind of weight because most people struggle.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing though. It's like getting to this body weight, it's taken me technically like 10 years, you know, just nonstop bulking. When I was in my like early 20s, I could never get heavier than 242.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't eating enough. You know, I kept making excuses saying, oh, I was eating plenty, you know, I was eating like 3,000 to 4,000 calories. And I was skinny and I had abs, but I just couldn't gain weight.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. One of the things I learned in my my first show is I bulked up to about 220 is what I bulked up to.
Mm-hmm.
But then I dieted down for a competition and I got real lean. When I went that next time, when I started bulking up, I went straight to 250 pounds.
Yep.
And I was actually in not too bad a shape considering that there was that much weight. But what I learned was that I actually had to diet down for a certain amount of time to be able to push the body past those limits, because I kept getting to a point where I couldn't go any further. Did you ever experience that?
I was about to say, I feel like that just happened with me. I had surgery 8 months ago now. I tore my tricep.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't train for about 3 months, and I actually lost a lot, not a lot of weight. I would say a decent amount. You know, I dropped from like 308 to like 290.
Yeah.
I was super depressed about it. I felt, you know, like my career could have been over and this and that.
Yeah.
And then within, you know, 3 months of training and eating right, I got up to 320, and it was the heaviest I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
And I felt amazing. And that's when I started hitting all my PRs again.
Yeah.
And right now I'm sitting around 308 just because my diet, I just haven't been consistent, you know, in the past month, honestly.
The body becomes this function. This is one of the things I learned over the years. You teach it what you want it to do by what you're doing in the gym. So when you're doing like the 225 for how many reps are you doing that for? 100?
Yeah, the best I've done is 100 so far.
So when you're building up to that, do you just like, okay, how many days? Let's just talk about you doing 225 for as many reps as you possibly can.
Yeah.
How do you build up to do that? Do you spend a certain amount of time at that 225 doing just, or do you go to failure?
For me, I've just always been an endurance athlete. You know, when I played football, my coach would actually make me not run laps because he knew I loved running. And I wanted to be with the team. And like my punishment was like the team runs and you stay and all this and that. Terrible, but it was great. Character building.
Yeah.
And so for me, I'm just, my endurance is great, you know? So I don't really actually train endurance for those lifts.
Okay, but you walk into the gym day one. Okay, I'm taking 225. You crank out. How many, if you can remember, the first time that you did that, how many reps did you get?
I mean, I was probably in high school, maybe 10.
10. Okay, so how did you get to 20? And how did you get to 30? For goodness sake, how did you get to 100? I mean, come on.
I would say that's just strength building. You know, like my endurance, let's say my endurance stayed the same as it is now, or it actually probably decreased over the years. My strength has just gotten so much higher that, you know, two plates for me is essentially 30% of my max.
Uh-huh.
Where it pretty much feels like nothing. You know, it's like the barbell for most people.
Yeah. Do you think that if you were 50 pounds lighter, that you could do the 225 for 100 reps?
Probably not 100, but I could say at least 70 to 80. Yeah.
So the body weight actually has something to do with that.
I would say so. You know, of course, I'm fatter right now, so I've got a little bit of a gut, and it kind of reduces your range of motion a bit. But I don't think, you know, losing 50 pounds of, let's say it's, you know, 30 pounds of fat, 20 pounds of muscle, I don't think I would lose that much on the strength scale.
Do you use some of these guys put on a suit? Do you use one of these suits? I didn't pay attention to that
I've never used a bench shirt before. I do use elbow wraps just as like a preventative thing. Essentially I just wrap, you know, something around my elbow to put pressure on my tendons.
Okay.
And it actually saved my elbow, my tricep that I tore. The doctor told me that it should have torn from the bone, which would have caused a bone break, which would have caused a much longer recovery. And because I had that wrap on, the tear actually happened higher up on the muscle, and it was tendon from muscle versus tendon from bone.
Were you actually doing this as a part of the, like a powerlift or like in a meet, or did this happen while you were trying to do a lot of reps?
I was doing an accessory movement. That's like super popular with a lot of old school power lifters. They're called rolling extensions. It's similar to like a lat pullover and a skull crusher.
Oh yeah. I know. So you
kind of do like a skull crusher and then use your lats to kind of start the movement and then extend.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Vince Gironda. Oh. I don't know if you heard of Vince Gironda. It's before your time. He was called the Iron Guru. And way ahead of his time, he trained Arnold Schwarzenegger and some of these old bodybuilders back in the day, but I trained in his studio, which is one of the luckiest things that happened to me, because guys like that are way ahead of their time. But that's one of the things that he did, is he would start back here, pull real close in, and then do a little chest press right there.
Yeah.
So I know exactly what, so you tore it doing that, huh?
Yeah, so this is going to sound dumb. I almost never drank. I don't really like drinking. I don't enjoy it that much. And I went out for the first time in a few months and decided to kind of like let loose. I just hit a PR and, you know, I went and partied and had fun with my girl. Didn't rehydrate properly. Didn't really drink much water and tore it due to dehydration. There's my cat.
Hey,
kid. And, the doctor said that because the tear was so small that he's pretty sure it was from dehydration.
No kidding. That's an important message to send to people out there because, you know, we do know that when you're hydrated, you can perform better, but sometimes we take that shit for granted, don't we?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like when I was younger, you know, I could go do that. Obviously I'm not that old now, but I am older. And of course the weights I'm lifting are pretty ridiculous and I don't really realize that most of the time.
You don't, so, because you do it all the time and you forget about that shit.
Exactly.
You know? And it's really important to remember that.
It was kind of humbling, man. It was a good learning experience and it kind of really made me want to focus on my water intake a lot more in my diet. And I've been drinking a lot more water, which probably is one of the more reasons I'm a little more bloated now. And I just need to get my diet back on track and then I'll be where I need to be.
Yeah. Is this the only injury that you've had since you've been doing this more of the serious lifting?
Yes. Technically, it's the only injury I've ever had. I'm pretty sure I have like a partial tear in one of my delts from when I was like 20.
Minor inconvenience. What the hell?
Yeah, just a little indent you can see on it. And then I think I have a partial tear in my left bicep from benching it properly, but I really don't know.
Yeah.
But those were when I was, like I said, 20 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny that you said that. So what? How has this gotten into your head now, like with this injury? You know, with athletes, and I was a former athlete playing football and things like that. You know, when you get hurt, when you twist a knee or something like that, does it make you think that you're ready to go, balls out, like you're doing right now? Is that in your head at all? So how does that make you think differently, or does it?
The only thing I really haven't been pushing 100% right now is my tricep movements. But everything else I've been going 100% on. And I really don't worry about it because the mesh they put in, the doctor told me, is stronger than your tendon.
Yeah.
So he told me that elbow will never tear again.
Really?
So I kind of.
That might be a good or bad thing for you, telling you that.
Yeah, exactly. I told him jokingly, I was like, yeah, go fix my other arm too while you're at it.
You know? Yeah, you might as well do both of them. Oh my goodness, that's crazy. Because as an athlete, you just wonder when you're ready to go again, am I really ready for this, you know?
Right.
Hey, so listen, I mean, when you're doing a bench press, your triceps are very involved in that. They're the weak link, aren't they?
Yeah, they're absolutely loaded. And it's weird because like, I don't really have any issues in it. The only thing that happens is if I get a really good arm pump, like when I'm training biceps, I'll get a little bit of numbness in my forearm.
Oh yeah.
And I just feel like that's from scar tissue and eventually that'll go away. And even if it doesn't, it's not a big deal. So
I like your mindset. I really do.
Yeah.
I'm always fighting with that. You know, I've talked to people, you know, now that I'm 67 years old, I've had shit happen to me. Like you will too. The longer you stay in this thing, the more shit's going to happen to you. That's life. I mean, that's just what works.
That's what I've told my girl. It's like, I don't know if I'll be able to power lift, you know, my whole life, but maybe for another 5 years.
Yeah.
And then I'll probably transition to like bodybuilding and hope I look good. I don't know.
I'm there. I've been, when I was training in my early days, I had some injuries like we all have. And I keep wondering because I love this. I love the bodybuilding. I call it the bodybuilding lifestyle. This is what I do day in and day out. I'm lost without it. I have to do it. When I go into the fucking gym, if I can't compete against myself, I'd rather shoot myself. I know that sounds pretty drastic, but no, you know what I mean. You know what I'm talking
about. I get it. Yeah.
I can't go in there and just half-ass the damn thing. So, and then of course, 10 and a half years ago, I had 3 strokes that paralyzed my ass and I came back from that. So I'm always having to deal with, I want to push it as hard as I can, but you know what? I got to be a little bit mindful, but that's okay. Because I've told people in one of my videos, I said, you don't know what you don't know until you get there. And I can tell you this, man, I'm 67 years of age and I'm pretty shocked at what the body is, can rebound from and can do, but you got to make adjustments along the way to help that happen. If you keep doing the same shit that you're doing, that keeps getting you hurt. Well, what do you think's going to happen?
Yeah, you're going to keep getting hurt.
You're going to keep getting hurt. And, yeah. And that doesn't mean when you make the adjustments that you won't, but you're always playing with that. There's a, it's a calculation that we make, I think, as athletes like you and me. It's a calculation. This is not the most healthy thing that you could do.
Oh, absolutely not.
So.
Definitely not healthy, but yeah, it's what we love, man. And
yeah.
So, we pretty much fight every day against our own bodies telling us to not do something.
Exactly.
And we're doing it.
Exactly. You know? So there are some risks to that, you know, and a lot of people just don't understand that. I can't tell you how many people just say, you're a fucking maniac. You're not normal. You're this and that. I said, well, you know, you'll never get it. So I'm not going to explain it to you because that's going to make my next set that I'm going to do here.
Oh, absolutely, man. I've gotten so many messages where people are like, why are you doing what you're doing? What's the point? Yeah. You know, why exactly. Lift so heavy? Yeah. And it's exactly what you said. You won't know if you could do something until you do it.
Yep.
So while I'm at, you know, 29 years old is pretty much my prime in powerlifting. Yep. I just want to see how far I can push my body.
Nice.
You know, if I end up pairing both triceps or my pecs doing it, like, let's say I bench 700, I'll be the first, you know, person in my body weight to do it. And there'll be six other people in history who have done it before me, but I'll be number seven.
There you go. I like it, baby.
I'll trade my pecs for it if it has to. I don't know.
Oh God, listen. So where do you see yourself in the next 4 or 5 years? What do you want to try to call? You're an influencer now. How do you see this working out for you? It's hard to look into the crystal ball like this, but I want you to anyway.
So I've actually talked about this a lot with my girl. Like I said, definitely there's no long term for powerlifting. Can you still hear me?
Yep, sure can.
Sorry, my phone it gave me a notification and I was so there's not really much of a long term for powerlifting. I might be able to do this for another 5 to 7 years. Let's say 35.
Yeah.
So short term goals, let's say the next year or two, I want to bench at least 700.
Okay.
Then I want to set the world record at 275, which was set by Ted Arcidi. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yes. Okay.
So he has the world record at 275, and that's 650.
At a body weight at 275, correct?
At 275, and he benched 650 in a full power meet. So okay. If I can break that record, which is a 40-year-old record, I would be pretty stoked about that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like I said, maybe transition into bodybuilding or something like that to try and build a larger audience and following et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, maybe expand into some businesses, invest places here and there.
Yeah.
A lot of influencers, they make great money, but they don't know how to save and they don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to build, you know, an empire and a way to kind of support my future family and let us retire, if that makes sense.
Hell yes, man. And I got to tell you something as we're exiting out here. One of the things that I did over 40 years ago, I had to make a choice. It was either work on the family farm, which I was expected to do because in my culture, it's left down to the next generation, right?
Yeah.
Even though I'd rather you pull a leg out of my ass than me work in that industry. That's kind of how I felt that during that time.
Right.
And I got to the point, you know, I said, well, shit, after college, I guess this is, you know, my pro career didn't go very far at all. Not like my kids, both of my kids played at the high level, but so I ended up just going to the dairy and being in that life. And I was so unhappy. It was just amazing. And one day, because I told myself at this age, at 27, at that time, I said, it's highly unlikely that I can be a pro athlete.
Okay? Right.
But I said, if I ever get something that I can do that gives me the passion that I had when I was playing sports, I will not question that because I did that one time and it haunted me. I jumped 40 years ago when no one was doing personal training in my area. You could get a personal trainer maybe in LA and San Francisco. No one knew what the hell a personal trainer was, believe it or not, 40 years ago in my town, in my area. It didn't matter. I had the passion for it. I made a promise to myself that I wouldn't question that I would follow my dream and follow my passion. And I get the sense from you, that's exactly what you're going to do. And if it's me giving you advice, I told my kids, do something that means something to you. The rest of the shit will fall in place.
I appreciate that, man. Seriously. Anyway. No, I do. Because it's like, it's hard to pursue this. And for example, like my dad, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I came up to him and I was like, hey, I want to try and be, you know, I want to work out for a living.
Yeah.
And he went and bought me a gym membership, you know? Really, yeah. And he brings that up a lot. And he's pretty much been my biggest supporter.
That's cool. You need that. You know,
absolutely.
I can't tell you how many times over the years I've had people come say, why don't you just get a real job? And I said, well, fuck, I'd rather you shoot me in the head than to get a real job. You know,
if you're enjoying what you're doing, it's not even work, man. You're getting paid to enjoy life.
Exactly. And I have people now, I'm 67. Why are you doing? Why don't you just retire? I said, why? I'm having fun. Why would I do that? It makes no sense to me.
Right.
Anyway, I hope that you have that longevity in your career. You have a good presence about you, and I'm sure that you will.
I appreciate that, man. I'm trying. Like I said, I'm hoping I can find the roots that allow that longevity. You know,
just stay in the game, baby. Just keep making adjustments. You'll be there.
That's true.
Okay. Hey, listen. Thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Of course, man.
When you break those records again, if you'd like to come back on, let's talk some shit.
Oh, absolutely, man. I'm always down. Okay.
All right. You take care. All
right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.